From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. If you've ever given money to a Kickstarter project, what I say next is probably going to sound familiar. Okay, you're all excited about the project, and you give some money, and you see the project reach its goal, and you think, oh boy, I can't wait to get this thing in the mail. And then nothing happens for a very, very long time. In fact, nothing happens possibly forever. And you feel ripped off. You start to think, like, you know, hey, Kickstarter creator, what the hell's going on here? You said you needed this money, we gave it to you, so now where's this thing you promised? But now flip the story. Imagine what's happening with the creator of that Kickstarter. They said they needed the money, they raised it, and then, well, I'm willing to bet I know what happened. The creator slammed face first into reality and discovered that the thing they created is actually way, way more expensive and complicated to produce than they could have anticipated. And here's what that sounds like.
Basically, at the end of this Kickstarter, we lost a fair amount of money. And it was essentially like, okay, we know that there's a market validation. Our customers like the formulation, but like, this is just not going to work.
I'd like you to meet Ryan, who built a company called Clean Cult.
So my name is Ryan Loopberger. I'm originally from Boulder, Colorado, and we make green cleaners that don't suck.
Here's the situation. It is June of 2016, and Ryan is a student at Babson College, and he has created a brand, which he describes on Kickstarter as, quote, the most effective non-toxic laundry detergent, end quote, and he's raised $10,585 from 268 backers. But then he goes to a manufacturer in California, and it turns out that manufacturing alone is going to cost him more than double what he raised. So, you know, rough numbers here. He raises $10,000, and delivering that product is going to cost him $20,000. That is a recipe for going broke. So what does Ryan do? That is the subject of today's episode. And I should say outright that this one's a little different than usual, because this show usually focuses on companies that are proven in the marketplace and therefore have validated the solution to their problem. Clean Cult is still very much in the early stages of business, but I thought it was valuable to hear from an entrepreneur in that moment of transition, because Ryan has already made a pretty big change in his life in order to fix the problem that arose from Kickstarter. But before we get into what that is, let's talk a little bit about why he developed Clean Cult in the first place. So as Ryan said earlier, he's from Boulder. And if you've ever been to Boulder, you know that that place has become America's organic headquarters. I mean, you cannot fling a bowl of chia pudding without hitting someone who works for a natural or organic company that's based there, like Justin's Nut Butter, Purely Elizabeth, Lucky's Market, Ripple Foods, Wild Oats Markets, the list goes on and on. And a lot of locals live that lifestyle as well. Ryan did.
And when I took that lifestyle basically to the East Coast when I went to school at Babson, essentially the constant feedback I got was, you're a hippie. And why am I going to try that green product, that natural product? It's not going to work.
Outside of Boulder, that's pretty much people's attitudes towards natural products. They don't work. That's what people think. I mean, you know, many years ago, I once bought a natural deodorant and my girlfriend at the time made me stop using it because I smelled so much. But Ryan says that's an outdated view of green products. Manufacturing has come a long way in the last 15 years, he says, and many natural products now do work really well, but they haven't escaped the stigma.
So it was like, what if we could create a green brand, a natural brand, a healthy brand that millennials in our generation could basically look at and say like, oh, look, that's a green product that actually works. Like, it looks good, it is appealing, it's delivered directly to my door, and essentially doesn't have all these like consumer barriers by like, oh, it's not going to work, it's going to be too expensive.
So as a student, he set to work and decided to start with a laundry detergent. And he's not concerned about making a good product. I mean, Ryan knows that's possible. Instead, he starts thinking about what kind of green laundry detergent would overcome the stigma. So he looks at the marketplace and he sees a few openings.
So a lot of green brands are still sold in retailers and they have started to move online, but they're not designed for online. So they're not a product when you get mailed, for example, a 64-ounce jug. right? And there's no opening experience, and there's not a snarky, funny Facebook ad that makes me want to click on it. Like, they can be online, but it doesn't mean they should live online, if that makes sense.
Instead of chasing retail, Ryan decides he will sell exclusively online. He'll create a nice unboxing experience where you open the box and are presented with his company's little character that they call the Clean Cult Superhero, and then the Clean Cult Manifesto, where the company will be really upfront with consumers about what it is and what it stands for. And that includes being really honest about the industry that it's in. You know, Ryan wants to say it repeatedly. In fact, he's already said it on this show. We know that lots of green brands suck. We hear you. We think they suck too. And you shouldn't have to buy something that sucks just because you feel an obligation to it.
It's like, oh, finally, I don't have to pretend I'm going to buy green brands and not realize they're sucking because we're all environmental.
In doing this, Ryan is kind of pulling a page out of the Domino's playbook. You know, you might recall that amazing turnaround Domino's made in 2009 when it came right out and admitted that people hated its pizza. I mean, the videos that it produced were totally captivating as Domino's executives listened to angry customers and even read reviews of the pizza they were selling.
Oh, this one's bad. Worst excuse for pizza I've ever had.
The sauce tastes like ketchup.
Totally void of flavor.
Now, we are talking about different things, of course. Domino's was admitting something about itself, and Clean Cult is an upstart trying to find its place in an industry. But both want to harness the power of catharsis, of building trust with consumers by saying, yeah, we hear you, and we think something sucks, too. You know, Ryan built this thing right into his Kickstarter. In the video on that project page, he steps out of a shower and says, green brands are dead. We all know what it means to be green. And then he smells his armpit, and he is not happy. It's a message that clearly connects. I mean, it connected enough to raise $10,000 on Kickstarter, which was amazing. But, you know, that brings us back to the big Kickstarter problem, because Ryan also discovered that it cost double to make this thing than he expected it to. And, I guess he perhaps should have seen that coming, because here's another big problem with green products. They are so damn expensive. I mean, that's really part of why green products suck. And let's not forget, Ryan does not want his green product to suck. So, what's Ryan thinking at this moment? Let's go back to that clip I played at the beginning of the show with how Ryan reacted when the Kickstarter experience went bust.
Basically, at the end of this Kickstarter, we lost a fair amount of money, and it was essentially like, okay, we know that there's a market validation, our customers like the formulation, but like, this is just not going to work.
We'll get deeper into the story after this break. My wife and I recently got a book deal, so yay, exciting. But then the contract came, and I needed to print 4 copies of the last page and have us both sign them and then mail it to our agent, and we don't have a printer at home, and the nearest mailbox is 4 blocks away. And seriously, this whole thing took a week. I just kept thinking, there has got to be a better way to do this. And there is. SignEasy is an easy-to-use, simple, and legal way to digitally sign documents. You can sign them yourself from anywhere and on any device, or send documents to customers, partners, or colleagues for signing, and even track the progress of documents and get notified when one is signed. Or, let's face it, if you were my agent wondering, where is this contract already? You could have used SignEasy to send me a reminder. Please, 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 let us all agree to stop fussing with documents you have to print and sign and put in a mailbox. SignEasy is faster, easier, and safer. To get started for free, go to getsigneasy.com/podcast. Again, that's getsigneasy.com/podcast. And now onto our second sponsor. I was about to start recording this spot here for our new sponsor, ProsperWorks, but I wanted to know what someone who's used many CRMs thinks, because that's what ProsperWorks makes, a CRM. So I walked over to one of our sales guys, Jim, and I said, Jim, tell me what comes to mind when you hear the words CRM. And Jim sighs, and he says, they are so tedious. And to this, ProsperWorks says, we totally agree. ProsperWorks is a CRM company that knows CRMs are notoriously complicated and inefficient, but its software is the opposite. By integrating with tools you're already using and eliminating repetitive tasks with automation, ProsperWorks makes a beautiful, easy-to-use system that drives productivity to help you and your team sell more faster. Try ProsperWorks today for free using our link prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Again, prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Okay, let's get back to the story. That is awesome. I mean, yeah, the Kickstarter created a problem for him, but he also recognized the good that it brought him. It proved to him that his pitch could work. People want a green product that doesn't suck, and at least a couple hundred of them are willing to trust it from him. So what he needs to do now is bring manufacturing costs down. And of course, that often means moving manufacturing overseas. His original manufacturer was in California, and clearly he learned that is just not going to work. That is more expensive than he thought. But Ryan doesn't want to go overseas. I mean, he has seen green brands move their production to China, say, and then lose control of the supply chain and end up with products that aren't as green as they're actually promising. And you know what? Then they suck. So that is not an option. And that leaves Ryan weighing kind of two directions. Either give up or find some path to success. And then, as luck would have it, a friend of his in Puerto Rico forwards him an email about a new accelerator there.
It's called Parallel 18. And basically, they give you $40,000 to move your business here, a five-month acceleration program, and mentorship all over the island, and work hard, play tropical. So it's also a really good lifestyle there.
And as they say in the game shows, that's not all. God, I'm never working in game shows. Anyway, as it turns out, manufacturing on the island is 50% cheaper than on the mainland. The island, as you may have read in the news, is going through a pretty rough economic time. And so wages are low. And that means Clean Cult can do everything at a significantly lower cost, but at the same time still follow U.S. laws and oversight and say it's made in America. So he does it. He moves to Puerto Rico. And soon he's built out a partnership with a local university and attracted top talent that there is just simply no way he could have afforded back home.
You have all these really top-level professionals like manufacturing advisors, like digital marketers, who lost their jobs, unfortunately, and are looking for work. And basically, I mean, such high-level professionals who want to work with now any opportunities they can, and that they've started working with us. And basically their salary, again, if it would normally be $180,000 in the States, they'd work with us for, let's say, $80,000, simply because the economy is in such a tough place.
Also, he discovers the tax situation there makes him pretty happy, too. He gets 50% of his manufacturing spend back in tax credits. So that's where Ryan talked to me for this show. He was in a room in the accelerator where he's been working for the past few months, and his company has already grown significantly. They're up and selling on Amazon and through their own site, and traffic is up 500% since they moved to Puerto Rico. And they're also thinking about the next stage of the company, which will be a suite of non-toxic products like hand soap and dish soap and shampoos. And yeah, all of that will be manufactured in Puerto Rico because Ryan is not going anywhere. He has found a new home.
Yeah, so we're going to stay here. We're going to basically do what we have found is that from a culture perspective, the only thing that's really hard to do on the island is marketing. And because they don't necessarily understand the state's buying habits as much. So basically, our goal is to open up an office in Boston for marketing and then have everything else here in Puerto Rico and move here full time.
Does the lifestyle suit you?
It's amazing. You know, this is a separate, but what I've seen is that I like the mindset of entrepreneurs, like kill yourself and work. I mean, 24/7, like you have to make this happen. But it's really refreshing on this island because they have that mindset. But then they have the mindset of, yes, but family comes first. And like, yes, but make sure you're healthy. And it's like literally the hashtag, the title line of the accelerator is work hard, play tropical. And so it's this beautiful balance in my perspective, like great lifestyle, Spanish culture, you know, a lot of fun to go out in. So it's been a really good time.
So that is how Ryan solved his Kickstarter problem. He used it as a way to validate his idea and identify the first big hurdle in his business, which was the cost of manufacturing. And then he made a significant change, not just in his business, but in his life, in order to fix that problem. And boy, man, wouldn't it be nice if every problem could be solved by moving to the beach? I'll tell you what, that definitely would not suck. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week, so to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at HeyPfeiffer, HeyFeiffer. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Hey, I want to give you an update on everything you just heard. That was all recorded back in June of 2017, and obviously a few months later, Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico. In late October, I talked again to Ryan to see how it had impacted Clean Cult and his employees. He wasn't actually in Puerto Rico when the hurricane hit. By pure coincidence, he and his co-founder were in Boston overseeing a production run, and the hurricane brought a lot of their business to a standstill.
You can't paint it rosy. Like, obviously, it did take a hit. Is that we were going to introduce dishwashing pods from the island. We were going to do a much larger size of our laundry detergent, and that's delayed right now. So, right, so our sales have stagnated. We were in 200 stores on the island, and that also has stagnated. So we're basically about to launch the entire island wide, and that was going to be our retail data to launch in the entire United States. And that's delayed. That's delayed about 6 months.
So Ryan and his co-founder had a decision to make. Do they stay in Puerto Rico or move the company yet again? And they decided to stay. They had great partners there, great employees, and they also saw a lot of opportunity.
There's all this dark news coming from the island, like everything's done, it's bad. But at the same time, what this poses is an opportunity for Puerto Rico is that it essentially is a lot of their infrastructure was very old. And what this means is a complete reinvestment in the infrastructure. But more so from us, from a community perspective, we've gotten three main things from this storm is that on the first, we've been able to donate 100,000 laundry pods for laundry loads. We're doing it in basically drums to Light and Hope for Puerto Rico. And we've raised over $70,000 for the campaign, which has been huge. And basically, secondly, we were applying for what's called the SBIR research grant. And what that is $300,000 from the federal government for research and development for surfactant technology for us, because we're basically trying to make better green cleaners. And that's delayed. And we just had all this commitment from the National Science Foundation saying, we'd love to support you. We're supportive of your mission. And then the University of Mayo West, which we partnered with, is also even more excited to now partner with us. So it's been like this renaissance of people saying, okay, because you are staying, like, we're doubling down. And then thirdly, and this just happened literally last week, we officially got investment from, it's called Grupo Guayacan, which is this big startup support idea seed fund on the island. And again, because there's more and more startups moving out of it, the ones that are doubling down, they're just saying, okay, here's your resources, like, we're ready to do this.
Also, once Clean Cult announced that it was staying on the island, a lot of locals stepped forward to work with them. Suddenly, they had two new scientists, a lawyer, and a marketer, all working pro bono.
People now know about Clean Cult all over the island because of our donation and everything. So it's like there's been this second coming of people who said, look, everything's messed up, but let's fix it together. And like the people who are going to be able to stay through all of this, it basically follows up and helps your brand on the island. It helps people commit. It helps employees stay. It helps team members feel passionate about where you're going. Obviously, it's tragic. And at the same time, though, there's been a lot of like human wonder and human like love and commitment that really has been the shining light, I think, in all of this.
Ryan and his co-founder are still in Boston, primarily because there isn't consistently available Wi-Fi on the island, and they need that to run the business. But by the middle of 2018, they plan to be back living there full time. And they've learned something important through this experience. There's good to be found in bad situations. It doesn't discount the pain and tragedy people experienced after the hurricane, of course. But like Ryan says, a situation like this reveals a lot of human wonder, and that's a good place to move forward from.